So I picked a worship set today that, because of the time change, I thought would just perk you up a little bit. And for those who are watching by YouTube on delay or listening on a podcast, we are in North America and we change times. We have this thing called daylight savings time, and we sprung ahead an hour, which actually makes it darker in the morning and gives us daylight longer in the evening. So somebody thought that that was an ingenious plan, and we just have to go with it because it's the law. So as much as I'm a grace guy and don't care that much for that kind of law, it is what it is. Today is 12th. Gosh, we've got a quarter of the year almost over. It's 2023, so we're going to talk for a minute about the worship set. And so anyone that's listening on a delay or watching on a delay, I encourage you to go listen to today's worship set. There should be a link posted with the description of what you're watching or hearing. But if you can't find the link, you can always email livinggracegr@outlook.com and I will send it to you. And I don't know about the rest of you. Well, I know about the rest of you here, but I don't know about home. I was the only one up here dancing this morning. So I just want you to know I had a good time in the worship set. So what'd you guys hear? What'd you guys get? Anything inspire you in the worship set? Those on Zoom, you can jump in too. You look like you got something to say.
I do.
Go for it, girl.
Definitely woke up my spirit.
Good.
Through all the, you know, okay. By the time of the last song, Music Needs Heaven, just tingling all over.
Awesome. So you had an experiential, tangible revelation this morning.
Yes.
Good. Good. Well, I done what I'm supposed to do. I can go home now. Nah, just kidding. How about at home? Anybody have anything that you want to share about from the worship set? All those bright faces.
I just felt a really sense of peacefulness.
Yes. Yes.
It's a calm.
Good. 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 I like that. And yet it was peppy enough to get your juices flowing a little bit, so to speak. At least mine got flowing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, mine are starting to really flow again. Oh, Jesus.
Oh. You're warning us.
Oh.
You take it.
Thank you.
Go, go, go.
Yeah, put your seatbelts on. We're about to take off. Whew. Wow. And I actually, prayed last week that the Holy Spirit would give you a revelation of personal vision. How many of you experienced a revelation of personal vision this week? I'll say, so I'm going to have to buckle down and pray harder. Not. Well, I expect that you will get some revelation of personal vision as we move forward the next couple of weeks. You got to take this out of my phone. Hmm? Somebody say something? You got a revelation of personal vision?
Yeah, God's just been circling back on some things that we've known for a while in our life. We just haven't experienced everything, but he's brought that back into focus again. So we're beginning to take baby steps. Each one of those things to work towards the full manifestation.
Yay, God. Yay, God. What can I say? The joy of the Lord is your strength, and I'm getting stronger by the moment. I may not be able to stand up, but I'm getting stronger by the moment. Jesus, what are you doing to me?
You're ready to take over.
Wow. I want to talk about vision. We started last week. God's got a global vision, and within his global vision, he has an individualized vision for us, tailored to our uniqueness. How many of you know you're unique? Show of hands. How many of you know you're unique? Okay. And in your uniqueness, he covets you in your uniqueness. He's focused on you all the time because you are unique. And he's the triune God is the only true God. And he has the capacity to focus on billions of people at the same time because he has unlimited capacity. And Holy Spirit likes to tickle you. Tickle, 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 tickle. I shouldn't have done that.
Back to you.
And so this concept of vision is about creating something that's already been planned by God from the foundation, before the foundation of the universe. He's had this vision. What's God's global vision? And who's the instrument initially of that vision? Let's start with, who's the instrument of the global vision of God? Come on.
Yeah.
And before you was Jesus.
He was.
Jesus.
The Word.
The living Word is the instrument, the implementator of the global vision of God. And what... Give me some global visions of God. Somebody.
The restoration of all things.
The restoration of all things. What things need to be restored?
Man. Creation.
Man.
Gary.
Creation.
Wow.
Gary in specifically.
Indiana.
Oh. Okay. How about we just say the creation and all that's in it? What's the matter with creation the way that he had to come and restore?
It's cursed.
It's cursed. And what's the implication of cursed?
Loss of authority.
Loss of authority.
Corruption.
Corruption. Winding down into non-existence. Right?
Destruction.
Destruction. I mean, you can put a lot of different words to describe creation. And when did creation change that it needed to be restored?
The tree. What?
What's that?
The tree?
Yes. Yes, the tree. At that moment, creation changed. And it changed in part because our perception of creation changed. Humanity began to see creation more as an adversary than a gift. Something to be overcome. Right? Just like Adam and Eve's perspective of God went dark and that their perspective changed, their perception of creation also changed. Now something in creation was harmful. They ate something and things became harmful, right? I'm getting a few nods, but very little. Let me look at the people online. Anybody agree with what I just said?
Yeah.
There. Much more life there. You Canadians, you rock. And so I did correct the spelling of vision. I got busted last week after service about how I'd been misspelling vision for 2 weeks by adding an extra S. So I knocked the S out of it today. So we're talking about what else did Jesus come to restore besides the restoration of all things? Inside of that, there's very specifics.
Relationship.
Yeah, it's the word I was just thinking. Relationship. Whose relationships?
God and man.
Say that again, Muriel.
God and man.
God and man. Carol?
Man and man.
Yeah. Man and man. God and man, and man and man. So he came to restore. And by restoring, we mean when Adam and Eve did the cataclysmic event that transformed their understanding of who God was, where God went from being a friend who walked in the cool of the day with them in the garden to an adversary in their mind, not God's mind, in their mind, and all of the darkness that created for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before. Last week, I think I even mentioned it. So God is sitting there watching because of the destructive nature of the thought patterns of humanity, the toxic emotions, the fear, the anger, the angst, the anxiety. God hates me. God hates me. God hates me. I'm never going to be good enough. I can do all the religious things I want to, but I'll never, 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 never know for sure if I'm good enough. That needed to be broken and the true picture restored. And what's the true picture?
He loves us.
He loves us. Yes. Unconditional love and the power that goes with it. Gary Curlis, you are the next contestant on God Loves You Unconditionally. And he loves you so much that he put this woman beside you that he also loves unconditionally.
He did.
And
how about no more death?
No more death. Yeah. 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 No more death. I like that. So the world can pitch its worst at you. You can cease drawing breath, but you're not dead. Because the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So there is a transition there from one form of life to another form of life. So Jesus, he's come to restore all things. And he was prepared from before the foundation of the universe to come and restore. So he has released this global desire of the Father to restore.
So the peace on earth, goodwill toward men comes to mind.
Yeah, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Yeah. Now, I put a few scriptures on PowerPoint that I want to share with you before we move on to individualized. So please, if you would pull up the PowerPoint. I haven't done a PowerPoint since we moved into this building. And then at least a year before that. So I'm a couple years from the last PowerPoint. But we're talking about Proverbs 29:18. And I picked the message version this morning as one translation to share with you. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Take that scripture back over here. What is he revealing? He's come to restore all things. He's come to restore man and specifically you. He's come to restore creation. He's come with unconditional love to restore the God-man relationship and the man-man relationship, and that we can live without fear of death anymore, because there is no true death anymore. There never really was true death, but man perceived there was. If you cannot see this, this scripture says you will stumble all over yourselves. And I don't mean if someone sneaks up on Gary and ties his shoelaces together, that kind of stumble. I mean Gary will just wander around in the wilderness. And he will fall down. Now, the restoration of all things is he's made you a weeble. You could wobble but not fall down. But when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. So when you start meditating and focusing on God's vision, look what happens. You become the most blessed people in existence. So you can take that bout of depression and go, boom, and kick it down. It's a field goal, 3 points. That you've kicked it out of your life. I'm just in a strange place today, Lord. Thank you for being here. Can you arrow to the next one? I think you hit the right arrow. We jumped in with the message, but that's okay. Because here's what it actually says in the New English Standard. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. And Linda was bothered by that concept last week because she was bothered by keeps the law. That's why I pulled up the message for you. But prophetic vision, revelation, where there is no revelation from God, people cast off restraint. When there's no revelation of a vision, people are vying for their own personal interests. And what happens then is in the United States, where we have lost the concept of what the United States was based on, we now have so many different voices crying for recognition and control because there's no common vision anymore, let alone the vision of God. Organizations can have visions. People can have visions. And I'm not talking about drug-induced kind of visions, although those do exist. But when there's a collective good kind of vision, if people no longer are in agreement with that collective good, then they cast off restraint. You get a group over here rioting and people saying, that's okay. You get a group over here rioting and people say, that's insurrection. And you get people pushing their own agendas to the point where anybody else's agenda, vision, if you want to use that context, no longer matters. And you become someone that can get steamrolled and beaten or whatever. And that's because people have lost vision, especially the global vision of God. All right, Carol, hit the next one. The voice. Where there is no vision from God, the people run wild. But those who adhere to God's instruction know genuine happiness. What's God's instruction about you, Greg?
What's his what?
Instruction about you.
His instruction.
When they adhere to God's instructions, they know genuine happiness.
Love him.
Love him. So God's instruction for you, Greg, love him. What else? What did we talk about a few weeks ago? What's the greatest command?
Love him.
Love him. Love your neighbor as yourself. So part of the vision of God, one of the preeminent visions, is the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're unsure about that, you can go watch a video from a couple weeks ago where I'm actually not toast. go to the third one, Carol. That's the one we started with, Proverbs from the Message then. Yep, go there. Go to that one. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You, sir, are the awesome, awesome Son of God, created for such a time as this, who's got a heart for God and a heart for people of God and a heart for all the people out there that God has put in you and has inspired you. That is part of your personal vision. And it starts with his global vision of restoration of all things and of the God-man relationship, and I picked you. Those of us in this room and a few online are probably old enough to remember the war posters where Uncle Sam wants you as he's recruiting for the army. Well, I'm telling you, God wants you and you and you and you and all of you online who I can't see at the moment because of the share, but all of you, God wants you. And not for military service, but for joy and relationship.
Already has you.
He already has you, but he's awakening you as part of the restoration of all things. Go to the next scripture, please. This is Isaiah 11 out of the Message, and it's going to be two slides. This is a green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump. Who's the green shoot?
Jesus.
From his roots, a budding branch. The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him. That's in the Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding, the Spirit that gives direction and builds strength, the Spirit that instills knowledge and fear of God. And the fear of God, we know, is the awe, our awe response to God, not hunkering down and thinking he's going to hurt you. The fear of God will be all his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearances, won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right, render decision on earth's poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. Who does the work?
God.
Yeah, he's the one putting on sturdy work clothes and boots every day. That's grace. And in that grace, as we talked about last couple of weeks, he puts us in the middle of something and we awaken to it. Now, Carol, go to the next verse, the next slide. This is the voice. See, Isaiah 11 is God announcing Jesus. And here we have in Luke 4, Jesus responding to the call, responding. He's come out of the wilderness. He's come out of 40 days of dialogue with the voice in his head that tried to talk him out of who he is. And here's what it says. The synagogue attendant gave him, Jesus, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus unrolled it to the place where Isaiah had written these words. The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal One, is on me. Why? Because the Eternal designated me to be his representative to the poor and to preach good news to them. He sent me to tell those who are held captive that they can now be set free. And to tell the blind that they can now see. He sent me to liberate those held down by oppression. In short, the Spirit is upon me to proclaim that now is the time. And this is the Jubilee season of the Eternal One's grace. Woo-hoo! So now we see Jesus picking up the global vision. And I'm going out to restore. That's what he declared.
The Beatitudes.
Yeah. Matthew 5. If you have time this week, go read the first part of the Beatitudes. Now, and this is where it gets fun. Carol, if you'll go to the next one. 1 John 4:17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Guess who he's calling into a individualized vision to share in the global vision? Us. You, as he is, so are you in the world. Everything we talked about in those first seven slides are you. are you, all those online, all those watching on delay, all those listening on podcasts. Back up to the first one, Carol. You have a prophetic vision, which is to walk out your portion of the call to participate in the global vision. And then they're still individualized beyond that more. You get to walk out releasing prophetic vision into people, releasing this truth. And I'm calling the prophetic vision the truth about what he's come to do. Prophetic ministry is about the truth of releasing who you are in relationship to what he's already done. And at times giving you a sense of direction. Come back to the next one again, Carol. That one, number three. And if people can't see what God's doing, then he's calling on you to help them. And if they stumble, you help pick them up. Because that's part of our walking in union and oneness. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Those four chapters are about union and oneness. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus says, I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. Jesus says, I'm in you. Ergo, using syllogism terms, ergo, the Father's in you. And you are in the Father. And you are in the Son. And you are in the Holy Spirit. And you're part of the circle dance. Oh, circle dance, sorry. That's who we are. We get to participate in helping to ensure that the global vision of God is made known to all men. Now, does he need us to do that? No. Did he choose to do it that way? Yep. Well, I just don't want to participate. Well, he says you're going to, and he's calling you to, and he's wooing you to. You might as well give up now and participate. And when you do that, you're the blessed. Oh my gosh, you become so blessed.
A small picture of the Asbury thing going on now, of people catching a vision.
Yes.
And how attitudes change. But I also see all the people that are condemning that.
And here's an interesting part that we'll talk about, I don't know today, but for sure next week. Your ability to understand and walk out an individualized vision requires you to understand the global vision. If you don't understand the global vision, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get exhausted. You're going to get worn out. You're going to go to works. And we all know that never accomplishes what God really wants to accomplish. All right, back to the next slide, minute, Carol, 4. The Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding is also on you. Why? Because you're one. This is one of my favorite, I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite set of verses, Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Ed Lixie calls me Friday and he goes, Terry, I was reading through Isaiah and the Lord highlighted something with me and I want to share it. And he starts reading me Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. And I went, yeah. The Spirit that gives direction and builds strength is in you. Why? Someone at home, tell me why the Spirit that gives direction and builds strength is in you. Hearing no one at home, Sharon, you look like you got an answer.
I just want to say it's part of the package.
It's part of the package. The package of our union and oneness, right? Think about that. This is Father, Son, Holy Spirit in you. Inseparable. Unity. Oneness. And Papa looks at you and turns to Jesus and goes, Mark, you are just so awesome. I really like you, Mark. You're the best. And Jesus goes, Papa, you got good taste. And the Holy Spirit goes, I'm just going to go give an extra dose of blessing to Mark today because he's just so awesome. And he says that about every one of you. Every one of you. That's how special you are. That's how special you are. And the same Spirit that instills, next slide, please, knowledge and fear of the Lord, he will be your joy and delight. He doesn't judge you by appearance. So therefore, we shouldn't judge anybody by appearance. What does Paul say? Know no man by the flesh. Don't judge by appearance. Don't decide on the basis of hearsay. What's hearsay? I know because I'm a lawyer, but what's hearsay? I'll let you guys talk it out.
It's what you hear and say from somebody else.
Yeah, it's secondhand statements from another person supposedly pointing to a fact or something in existence, but they never saw it, but they heard it from someone else.
Rumor or gossip
would constitute hearsay. In a court of law, it's any statement made outside of court that's being offered for the truth of the matter asserted. So hearsay often is suggested, I have this unreliable source that says, Carol spent my money unwisely. Now, two things are wrong with that. Number one, Carol has her own set of money. Number two, well, actually three sets. My money is her money, so when she spends it, she can. And number three is, how dare someone come and talk to me about my wife, about her spending habits? They should go talk to her if they think there's a problem. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail. I walk back.
Take your Kohl's cash today.
He judges the needy by what is right, renders decision on earth's poor with justice, and his word will bring everyone to awed attention. Let me see the group online again. I want to. Yep. So, Tony, can I use you for a moment? Can I talk to you for a moment? Tony, the Lord says about you, I'm going to show you words that you can share with others that they can go, oh my, oh Jesus. You have the capacity to touch them and instill awe and inspire them. Wow, that's pretty darn cool. And every one of us has that. Every one of us has that. And here's the beauty. Each morning, he puts on the work clothes and does the work so that we can walk in that. He's not calling you to put on the work clothes. He's calling you to listen, to enjoy the relationship, feel his heartbeat. John was so inspired that he put his head on the chest of Jesus and could hear his heartbeat. We can close our eyes, take some deep breaths, and ask Papa to let, we want to hear the heartbeat of the Trinity today. That's how vision gets expanded. We recognize there's something God wants to say to us. Okay, Carol, you can stop the share of all that.
Stop share screen.
Yep. So let me check in a minute before I move on. What are you guys hearing today so far? Anybody, online or in the house? Sharon.
I need to understand completely God's global vision.
Okay.
Before I can even recognize my own.
Okay. And what's his global vision about?
All of this that you're pointing to.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll even tailor the understanding of the global vision to you individually, because you're an individual creation of his. So you said, I need to understand. Papa, release it now. Over the next 36 hours, give her a deeper understanding of that global vision. And the vehicle of sharing this is grace. Turn and blow the vision on her. It's not a burden to understand the vision, because it's his job as the great communicator. The Trinity's job is to show you the vision the way they talk to you individually. So you may hear a song this week. Pop. You may be just in that state, just twilight state, just before a deep sleep. Pop. Don't put a parameter on what it has to look like. Just go, Papa, I'm open to seeing more. I'm open to feeling more. I'm open to receiving more. Because I know the restoration of all things is awesome. Is that a get ready to talk moment, Gary?
I'm not sure. just going to say, if we're in union with him, the vision's already there.
It is.
We just need to bring it up.
We don't need to bring it up. We need to be open to him bringing it up.
And,
yes, that's been the difficulty in the past. I must bring it up. No, I must be open to bringing it up. I just stand with arms wide open. Yeah. Thank you, Papa. You're revealing the vision in a greater way. And when Jesus says it's finished, the revelation of the vision is already completely released. And I'll turn off Fox News so I can hear it more. I am so glad I don't have cable. But every time I make a choice to say, Papa, I'm open to more, the one with the work boots puts on the clothes, gets up in the morning, have a dose of more. Anyone else? Come on. Don't leave me hanging here because I might start vibrating.
I just keep thinking of the verse in 1 John 4. As he is, so am I right now in this world. And my mind wants to reverse that as I am, so is Jesus. There's that. He sees it, but sometimes I don't see it. Sometimes I see it. And it's almost like a flickering.
Yeah.
But it is an absolute reality that I am like Jesus. And that means that I am filled with his love, his compassion, and everything that he wants for mankind, because that is what I was created for. And sometimes I fight that. But every time I hear that, there's no exit ramp from that statement. There's no way of denying that statement. Pure love. And as he is pure love, so am I.
Yeah. 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 And I'm going to give you a little pre-taste of what's coming. Sharon wants to have a greater understanding. Sharon, you know, you have a sense of how loved you are, right? Now, you start meditating on seeing someone in your sphere of influence and go, Papa, they are as loved as I am. And you start seeing love. Soaking them. And then them walking out love towards others and themselves. That's actually a form of vision and meditating at a personal level. You can do that for anything and anyone. Believe it or not, we can do it for our government. The governments of the world are subject to the global vision of God. They just don't know it yet. So we can sit there and see the prime minister of that beautiful country to the north of where I'm standing today, and we can see him being soaked in love, and so soaked in love that he can't help but encourage others, that he can't help but encourage them, just as the fivefold ministry in Ephesians is designed to help people determine their vision and assist them in moving forward. He too can do that. That fivefold ministry is not limited to the references in Ephesians 4, but it's also everyone in government, because God wants government to be an instrument of the global vision. But yeah, you're beginning to get a sense of what I'm talking about here. Vision, when we come into a greater awareness of who we are in relationship with Christ, vision not only for ourselves, but for others, begins to clarify. And then when God gives you a vision for someone else, he isn't saying, pull up the blue jeans and put on the work boots and go do it. He's saying, now, you've seen what I see. Let's go together. Because we're in one. We're in union. Chris Valentin last week, you want me to open a parts store, but I don't have any money. And God goes, but that's the vision. But I don't have any money. Well, watch how we perfect vision. Chris, I want you to go talk to so-and-so, and here's what I want you to talk to them about. And a piece of the puzzle falls together. A piece of the vision comes into alignment. But God, we need to move forward, but I don't have any money. Well, go talk to so-and-so. And all of a sudden, $100,000 of parts is deposited into his account without having to pay a dime. And shelving and countertop space given to him. Why? Because the vision was, open this parts store. That was part of his individualized vision in that moment of time. And look what happened. Number one, the guy who gave him the parts paid off in 3 years. Don't you think that's a testimony about the goodness of God in the land of the living? Not only for Chris, but for the parts guy. Goes over, I mean, the lease guy who gave him a year free rent, and then rent starts flowing after that. That guy got on board with the vision. Took a risk. No revenue for a year on that building. And yet, look at the testimony that of the vision of God in that moment. On top of that, it was building character, building a man. We can do this. Chris Valentin is no different than any one of us. No different. He was becoming more and more aware of the restoration of all things in his life and how that prepared him for where he is in the now. We are becoming more and more aware of the restoration of all things as we understand our identity, the goodness of God, the depth of his love, the fullness of loving others as we love ourselves and loving God. I mean, we have talked about so many things that are part of the restoration of all things that are preparing us in the moment of now for what he wants to show us today. And I will tell you that declaring this place, this facility physically and electronically as a health and wholeness center is a vision. And in that vision, I see the love of God flowing out tangibly, both to anyone in this room, anyone watching online, live or on delay, the love of God going boom, Boom. Health. Wholeness. Restored. Because is not health and wholeness part of the restoration of all things? So I sit and I visionate people walking in. I'm healed. I'm healed. I sit and hear Sharon's testimony online. I go, yay, God, yay, God, yay, God. And I see hundreds and hundreds and thousands of others as this message goes out, the Spirit of the Lord going, and that's you. And that's you. You're healed. You're whole. Rejoice. Rejoice. Praise. And I'm seeing people picking up their mats and going home, fully restored. And you know, they don't have to praise God because the 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back, yet the other 9 were healed. They don't have to drop everything in that moment and praise. Grace says here, it's a gift. And so the global vision of God is a gift to all of us. It's an inspiration to all of us that we can then create through meditation aspects of that as he leads us to meditate. And we're creating opportunities for peace, for wholeness, for the restoration of things to become consciously aware in the lives of people so that their joy may be complete. Wow. Someone talk to me. What are you sensing? What are you feeling? What are you getting out of this? I'd normally pick on Muriel, but she made a comment last week, but I always start with her, so I'm not going to start with her.
That's okay.
Oh, thanks for volunteering. What are you getting out of this?
I'm just finding the pieces are falling together that still, yeah, what you just said about meditation, learning the practice of meditation, being able to focus yourself into the now and just let God fill you with what he has and allowing him to do so. So yeah, it's definitely, it's like exercise. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's vital somehow.
And we're going to talk about that more and more for the next couple of weeks. But sometimes in grace, we think, well, I don't have to do anything. Well, I don't have to do anything to change my relationship with God. But when God inspires my heart to go forth, then I need to respond and go forth.
Yeah.
And so, wow, I'm just so stirred at the moment. I'm beginning to realize more and more that there's a place of peace that settles in as I begin to understand and reflect, meditate, think about, however you want to say it, what all has been restored in my life. What all has been restored by God in the lives of others? When I do that, there's a sense of peace that grows inside of me. Even those who consider me enemies, I still have a sense of peace about in an ever-growing fashion.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because it's in that vision of understanding that I have the strength to stand there, even if someone wants to throw darts at me.
Yes.
I can stand here and trust that the God who's always promised that he's had my back and has showed that he's had my back year after year after year deflects those darts.
Yes, yes.
And so for everyone here participating live today and those participating later on YouTube or by podcast, God, sometimes, what's the verse? Just stand what? And
having done all, stand.
Having done all, stand. But I want to take the having done all because he's having done. But in the midst of whatever's going on in the now, I can stand and go, yep, yep, God is good. And I see his goodness pouring out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. I'm just stoked. That's good, Muriel. Anybody else? There's a hush, kind of a reverent hush at the moment. Take it deep, Holy Spirit. Take it deep into each one. Let the awareness grow exponentially. I'm going to give you this quote out of a book called The Power of Vision, written by George Barna. Vision reflects a realistic perspective. Vision is not dreaming the impossible dream, but dreaming the most possible dream. So God puts something in your heart. I want you to open a parts store. You want me to do what? That's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Follow my lead. Vision stretches our abilities, including our ability to dream, but is not pie in the sky daydreaming. It's co-creating with God. It's taking that which is not yet seen and co-creating so that it becomes seen. When Sharon was giving the report about Cancer Free, she said she saw it. She saw it before the report was given. Yay, God. Vision is a specific, detailed statement of direction and uniqueness, and it's strategic. So when God's giving global vision, he's giving a very detailed statement. For most people, it's directive and it's unique. For those of us who are meditating on it, it becomes affirming. It's a clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God. And I just want you to take a minute and think back. Before you began to understand the unconditional love of God for you, what was life like? And somebody brave enough to share, let me hear what you have to say.
Life was full of questions.
Life was full of questions, yeah, yeah. Physically, emotionally, what was going on? As those questions are swirling, what's going on physically, emotionally?
Unrest.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Unrest.
Unrest, yeah. Job, chapter 3. I have no peace, I have no rest, only trouble comes. Because Job didn't have an understanding of the full picture, the true picture. Mm-hmm. Greg, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I felt like I was playing dodgeball with God.
Yeah.
And it was depressing. It was lonely. It would never end. Detached. All those good things. They used to follow me around.
We have the capacity embrace everything God says that's true. Use it as inspiration to change our own lives and our own culture as we meditate on that truth, as we speak that truth, as we create in unison a vision of that truth that people can gravitate to. Anybody else have anything they want to say? Because I'm going to stop here. We're going to pick it up more as an individualized perspective next week. I see lots and lots of wheels turning today. And we need those kind of days. Anyone online, anything you want to add as a last minute comment or observation? Hearing none. I'll turn to the room. Greg.
Because of where we are, it just shows me how much the prophetic helps people find their individualized vision. That is the purpose.
Yes. The prophetic ministry helps a person find their individual vision, which is exactly what the Ephesians 4 offices are supposed to be about. I help you find your vision and then help you launch into that vision by encouraging you to listen to God. Even when God goes, God said this, and I went, what? Okay, what are you going to do about it? You going to follow it? You going to argue? Because I tell you what, arguing against the vision sucks energy out of you. And I don't know about you, but I like to preserve my energy for the things I'm passionate about. And so when God puts something in my path that shakes my perspective, I either have to embrace that he's changing my perspective or I fight it. And it's just, it's a whole lot easier to embrace it. I fought too many battles with God and lost every single time. And here I stand today. Anyone else in the room? If not, I'm going to close out today.
Got another thought.
Go ahead.
It also speaks to when you run into an individual that you better accept their vision.
Yeah. You are not required to accept someone else's vision. Your vision will be unique to you. The global vision is where the church has struggled, 43,000 plus Protestant denominations, because the Protestants have lost sight of the global vision, or they've reinterpreted the global vision to fit their particular time. But God's not affected by that. I have taken a lot of comfort this last few weeks. Remember the guy that was going around talking about Jesus, and the disciples said, Jesus, he's not one of us. Do you want me to call down lightning from heaven? And Jesus goes, no, he's talking about me, so let him talk. He's got something that will impact somebody. He may be misguided, but Jesus isn't out to destroy them. He's out to revolutionize them with awareness. So, yeah, we're in it. We're in the season where judgment is not ours, never was ours. We know no man by the flesh. We see everybody by awakening to the reality of God's global vision. We start with that kind of attitude in the morning, that kind of perspective, and watch how our day goes. Get up in the morning and just sit there and look at Jesus putting on his blue jeans and his work boots and saying to us, let's go have a great day. Knowing that he's going to do all the heavy lifting. I just think that's so cool. So, Papa, we thank you for today. I just release, Lord, the joy that is part of the restoration of all things. I release massive doses to each one here, each one online, each one who tunes in later by YouTube or by podcast. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I challenge you, I dare you to meditate on that this week. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
The
Greg just released the triple dog dare. And I just think it's going to be a great week for everyone. So get ready to laugh. Papa, thanks again. Amen.